Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, burners and pranksters, bridge climbers and fight clubbers, cosplayers and flash mobsters, zombies and Santas, Dadaists and Fluxists, hackers and clowns. All you children of sex! And yes, we are all children of sex. We may or may not be children of God, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, Brahma Ramadama, or the great Minnehaha. We don't know. Possibly the doggy diner is the father of us all. We aren't sure exactly who did this, but one thing we do know, I mean, on a certain level, we are all children of sex, right? With a capital X. Can I hear an amen?
Amen. Amen.
Can I hear an A, women?
Amen.
I want to welcome you to the womb room of Dr. Susie's Speakeasy in the soul of downtown LA. Welcome to Bonoboville, brothers and sisters. Yes, sex is the essence of life. The origin of the species. The great communicator. The grand motivator. The last gasp, the eternal flame, the trick we play on death. But we can only trick death for so long. Eventually, the house wins. And this show is dedicated to two very amazing, very different individuals who are no longer among the living. First, my Uncle Pip, who just died at the age of 100 years old. He was born in 1913, Herman Block, Uncle Pip. He tricked death for a full century of life. A very full life it was. Athletic, he was a tennis champ, romantic, loved to dance. I think he had a lot of sex, but he didn't share that with me, unfortunately, despite my expertise. But dancing, you know, is a vertical expression of a horizontal position. And full of love, full of pep, which is why we called him Pip. Why do we look up over this death thing? We might as well look down because they're in the ground, right? I love you, Uncle Pip, wherever you are. Mazel tov on making it to 100. The winner's circle. Good luck, wherever you are. And my condolences to your many children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, including my cousins Elliot and Jeffrey, and special honors to my saintly cousin Diane, who took care of him every day, virtually giving up her own life so that Uncle Pip could live 100 years and never go into a resting home. Yeah. You know, in Judaism, we light a yahrzeit candle, and I didn't have a chance to get any, so I've got these. Anybody got a light? No, I'm serious. I am the black sheep of the block party, baby. So, light. You got a light? Here we go. Okay. Yiskadavi, Yiskadashime, Rabbah. Amen. All women. Uncle Pip. We'll do a full Kaddish later. But right now, that's your candle. And yes, good job, Diane. Now, finally, you have your own life. Now, finally, maybe you can go to Burning Man. All right. Right? Which brings me to the other amazing individual to whom this show is dedicated. A man who actually never went to Burning Man, as he suffered a fatal heart attack at the young age of 35, way back in 1983. Gary Warren. His ashes dropped from the top of the Golden Gate Bridge. Actually, my brother claims he dropped them. And there's brother Steve climbing up the Golden Gate Bridge. And anyway, we dropped those ashes, well, my brother and some other people here, from the top of the Golden Gate, where he had so often climbed with a secret group of San Francisco urban daredevils and iconoclasts called the Suicide Club. And I was a proud fringe member. Here I am at the top of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yay.
Yay. Woo! And we explored sewers, too. Up to the top, down to the bottom, and infiltrated the Moonies. Just for the thrill of it. Facing death. Exploring life. But the Suicide Club, well, you know, let me just say, yeah, there are no bridges in Black Rock City, right? I mean, except for maybe fake ones.
There are no monumental spaces.
But the Suicide Club begat the Cacophony Society, which begat this huge counterculture event that has become a culture unto itself. And tonight we're going to explore the history of Burning Man and much, much more with my first featured guest. The first of the guests is a co-author of this breathtaking new book. It's called Tales of the San Francisco Cacophony Society. And this is also the man who took me up to the top of the Golden Gate Bridge and made me face my fears 746 feet above the San Francisco Bay. Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners of Bonoboville, please welcome my old bridge climbing guide, John Law.
Hey there. Thank you very much for that introduction, Susan. And I wanted to mention my co-author for the book, Carrie Galbraith, is here.
I was just about to do that. Oh. Carrie Galbraith. I thought I'd give you first I knew you first.
I got you, Susan. Thank
she
you.
Is here, Carrie Galbraith. In fact, yeah, her name is right in the middle. Yeah. Okay.
But I remember meeting you back in 1980 and going up the Golden Gate Bridge with you and a couple of other adventures in San Francisco at that time. It was a way of challenging our fears.
Definitely.
And, you know, climbing bridges and climbing things like that, most of the people in the group had never really been into climbing. It was a fearful thing for some people.
It was a date for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of an aphrodisiac to face your fears.
It is.
As long as you survive, you know. I mean, to do something really dangerous and survive, it's pretty hot.
True, and a lot of times the danger is in your mind, and a lot of that, because with the Golden Gate Bridge, it, technically, if you're a reasonably fit person climbing, it's not that hard to do. I mean, if you're in good shape, you can do it, but it's the idea in your head that's frightening. It's like, my God, how could I be on top of this giant 740-foot tall structure?
And when you took me up the first time, when we actually failed to get to the very top,
because
we were confused, or anyway, but we went out onto this kind of area that was only 2 feet wide and had to walk there with nothing on either side. And, I mean, that's not a big deal if you're just a little bit off the ground. But when you're 786 feet above sea level with the sea roiling below you in the traffic,
Yeah, no, we went out to the hatchway. The hatchway had been locked. It was a hatchway we've been going into before, and that's why we couldn't get through at that point.
Right.
We were on a 2 foot wide, or a little bit less than 2 foot wide box beam.
Box beams.
Yeah, on the underside of the roadway.
Those box beams. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Well, anyway, they are very effective. I mean, I don't think you can do this anymore, but for a guy to take a girl up to the top of the bridge is a great aphrodisiac. And they did prove this, in a way, in a scientific study that was done on a bunch of guys that went across a calm bridge, an easy bridge that wasn't very high up, and then a bunch of guys that went across a very rickety, high-up bridge, and they both groups got to talk to a researcher at the end who asked them if they wanted to go on a date. And, you know, the guys on the rickety bridge all wanted to go on a date.
Right, because they're more active, you know, their hormones were activated by the fear.
Yes.
Because fear and sex are often intertwined in some ways.
And that was what the suicide club kind of stimulated in people.
Yeah. And oddly enough, you know, some people were very uneasy about climbing things, but once they climbed to the top of the Golden Gate Bridge, they never looked at it the same. They might drive across it for 20 years, and every time they drive across it, they look up and they know that it's not just a roadway, it's also a jungle gym.
Yes!
But the other thing is, like, there are other things we did in the Suicide Club that were frightening in other ways, and the idea was to challenge your fears.
Mm.
And you could come up with an idea of fear and then suggest it as an event. And then other people would come and help you do the event, create the event, work it out. And for me, being a kind of a repressed kid from the Midwest, the thing that was most frightening that I ever did in the Suicide Club was pretty early on. It was getting naked on a cable car.
I'm so sorry I missed that one.
It was a great event. And Nancy Prussia, who's one of the founders of the Suicide Club, did that event. And
can you find the picture in here?
Absolutely.
So we can pass that around. There's a picture,
yeah.
And one guy in there looks like John Lennon. And, I mean, it's like this wonderful picture from the 70s of these naked and half-naked people on the cable car.
I actually remember that picture also.
Here we
it's
go.
A very famous picture.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a famous picture.
There was no internet at the time, but it was published everywhere. Everybody saw this picture.
I got around. I'm in there. So I'm the guy with the hat and the strategically placed coat.
Ah, still shy. Still shy. Well, you know, everybody faced different kinds of fears in the Suicide Club. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes there were physical fear of heights, fear of creepy things coming out of sewers, and sometimes it's emotional fears, fear of, like, revealing your junk and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. But people faced them. It wasn't really for people who wanted to kill themselves.
Mm-mm. No, not at all.
You know?
The idea
although it was
from
taken from the Robert Louis Stevenson story, where those people kind of were.
Well, the story is taken from called The Suicide Club, written by Robert Louis Stevenson in the 1890s, and it was about a group of dilettantes in London who get together, and they're all bored and jaded with life, and they decide that they're going to have somewhat of a lottery, and one of them will be chosen to die, and another one will be chosen to kill them, and nobody knows who is who. And so it adds a lot of spice to their life, not knowing at what moment they're going to die, and they live each day as though it were their last. That was kind of the conceit, and that's something that we acted upon in The Suicide Club. Gary Warren, who was the, you know, thank you very much for that memorial, by the way. He was the avatar for the group. There were four people who founded the group: Gary, Adrian Burke, David T. Warren, and Nancy Prussia. Nancy, who did the naked cable car event that we were talking about. And their idea was that they would they would open up this concept for people to come and play with the world and be, you know, involved in ways that they would never conceive of being involved in the world and with other people. And some of them were sexual. There were sexual events that were a big part of the group, especially in the early couple of years. And then, you know, like climbing things, exploring the urban environment was a huge part of that group. And then went on to inspire other groups, including the Cacophony Society, which was started in 1986 from members of the Suicide Club who were, you know, the Suicide Club ended in 82, didn't have anything going on for a while. We were all bored. And
Suicide Club was all secretive.
Very secretive.
Very. I remember just that was the hardest part for me because I'm a big blabbermouth. Right. And the guy that introduced me, Jeff Spaulding, is his
Jeffrey
pseudonym. He just would threaten me, "You'll never be able to climb the bridge again if you say anything. Don't you dare."
Yes, he was very, very concerned about that. He was very paranoid, you might say, in a little way.
Well, we love him because he took me up the bridge.
Yeah.
You know,
He
introduced me to all of this. And yes, so the Suicide Club kind of died and came back to life like a zombie. And then the San Francisco Cacophony Society was formed.
Tell us
about that.
Oh, it started in 86. I think it was four members of the Suicide Club started it. And it was because they were frustrated by not going out and playing with the city the way they had with the Suicide Club. The one difference is they didn't really care if people knew about it. They wanted to open it up. It was an open group. And it was I found it pretty early on, and it spoke to me. It spoke to my adventure side. It also spoke to my fears.
Mm.
I climbed the Bay Bridge. It was terrifying.
The Bay Bridge is actually in some ways more fun to climb than the Golden Gate because you go up over the traffic and the crisscrosses.
Yeah.
And, here's a view from the top of the Bay Bridge if you want to see.
That last crisscross is
that the Bay Bridge?
About 2 feet wide or less, and it's the wind is blowing.
Oh,
and you
yeah.
have to go through the trap door to get to the top. Wow, talk about facing your fears.
Yeah.
But, the Cacophony Society, just anything you could think of, you could do, and everyone was a member. You may already be a member was the tagline. Yeah.
You may already be a member. That's, you know, really draws people in. It's the opposite of the Suicide Club, which kind of said, You don't want to know about this, you know.
Or if you find out about it, you got to come in and be in an initiation and be vetted that way.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Although I'm proud that I was part of it, even on the fringe. I mean, I think that the Cacophony Society, the philosophy was just so much more inclusive and bonobo-like, you know, in a way. just like, you know, everybody can be part of this and express themselves and you know, people can do their own ideas, and it's sort of anarchistic, but quite organized. So most people know what they know about the Cacophony Society because of Burning Man.
Correct.
Right.
So what is the connection there?
In the Cacophony Society, I'll mention it, we came up with this idea of the zone trip. And it was from the idea of going to a foreign place and then letting go of everything and letting the place come at you. And
all preconceived notions out the window.
Yeah, so you actually literally step over a line and go to this place. And we did a first and second zone trips to Los Angeles, actually. Mm. And they were quite wonderful. We climbed the Hollywood Letters. We did all kinds of different things. We drove out to Indio. Is that me? Anyway, the fourth.
I was on a trip when they came down here to climb the Hollywood Letters, but somehow they couldn't climb them.
Oh, no, we got
Hollywood
Letters.
No, we got to the
picture.
Well, I think I was with an advanced group and didn't climb them, actually, and they said that the group would be coming and coming, and then somehow I missed it.
Oh,
you know, sometimes I do miss that come, but, you know, coming and coming and oops.
We came. We got to the top.
Good. Yes. Well, I'm glad somebody did.
After a long, long time.
Can you still climb up the Hollywood Letters?
No, I think they're surrounded by
You know, I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's a lot harder. I think they have security on it, but I'm not positive. It was many years ago that we climbed the letters. We have a photo in the book.
Actually, you can't climb anywhere anymore.
Huh?
Everything's against the law.
It's just a little more
Well,
difficult.
It was against the law back then, but I think they're a little bit more strident.
But now they're
about
more
the
serious, though.
Days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was against the law to climb the Golden Gate Bridge, but, you know, they weren't really checking people out. I remember the time to do it was Saturday night so that you could climb down Sunday morning.
They weren't as sophisticated at that time.
No.
Not quite.
Well, not as much surveillance either.
Right. Yeah,
but people still do urban climbing. Urban adventuring is a huge field worldwide now, and the Suicide Club, later Cacophony, were groups that I wouldn't say that we invented those things, because people have always explored and delved into the urban environment as a playground, but we kind of codified it in a way and formalized it in a way by making events out of doing urban exploration. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the philosophy that's kind of imbued a lot of the urban explorers around the world, I think, started in the Suicide Club or was influenced by the Suicide Club, which is prime. And it also has imbued other organizations, including Burning Man. And one of the things was the Leave No Trace philosophy, because in the Suicide Club, we would sneak into abandoned buildings and do events in them, or climb the Golden Gate Bridge or the Bay Bridge or go in the sewers or whatever. We never took anything, left anything, or damaged anything while we were there. We would go into abandoned buildings, like giant abandoned breweries that they had at the time, and do large-scale events in them. We wouldn't break a door or a window to get in or a lock. We'd figure out how to climb into the building, and if you couldn't get into a building without breaking in the building one, okay, and we would never leave anything in the buildings that we went into. Like, we did a giant vampire game one time in an abandoned mortuary building. We brought in our own coffin. We had a giant potluck dinner after the costume vampires had tried to kill off the Romanian peasants, and the British vampire killers were hunting them through this huge, massive abandoned building. And we took out all of our garbage with us out of an abandoned building. That's how fanatic we were about not damaging or trashing the environments we were in. And later, when Burning Man started up as a zone trip, the first desert trip to Black Rock in 1990 was the San Francisco Cacophony Society.
Zone trip number four. Yep. Bad Day at Black Rock.
Yeah. And wow. There were 70 people who went on that event. Roughly 70 people. And the first sort of the advanced crew were about 30 people that drove out overnight and got to Gerlach and stopped at Bruno's for breakfast at 7 in the morning, and these weirdos from San Francisco, and then drove out to the 11-mile turnoff, drove off on the playa, drew a line in the dirt, and we all stepped over the line in the dirt into the zone, and that was the very first Burning Man on the desert. Yeah. And then we just got in our cars and drove to the until we decided to stop driving about 8 miles up playa and just set up right there, and that's where the first Burning Man event was.
Yeah, and you burn the man. That's another aphrodisiac. Come on, baby, light my fire.
It was a very different event when they were 70 to, maybe 1,000 people. I think by the time I left in 96, there were 10,000 people in 96 when I left, which I always thought was a lot too many people to have in that environment. But that was just me. It's a great party, but it was a very different event when it was a smaller event. It was a temporary autonomous zone, which is a concept that an East Coast philosopher, Hakim Bey, came up with about you go to a place where nobody really cares about and you do whatever you want with the people that you want to do it with, anything, with absolutely no restrictions whatsoever.
That is the idea.
And then you leave before they can kill you or catch you or make you stop what you're doing. Because anytime you're really doing what you really want to do with a group of people who are completely free, somebody in power is not going to like that. They're going to want you to stop doing that, and they'll try to make you do it. So we picked the most remote place we could think of, which was the up playa in the middle of nowhere, 20 miles off-road in the most remote part of the continental United States. And for a long time, we were pretty much allowed to do whatever we wanted to do there. People were cool. If people did something stupid or unpleasant, like a really drunk guy one time refused to quit driving his truck around, we took the keys away. He had another set of keys, so we took the stems out of his tire, the little hose things in the tire, so that the tires went flat, so he couldn't drive the car anymore.
It's amazing how much law enforcement you can do without firing a shot.
Correct.
Right.
I mean, oh, my snake is... Now, one of the things that Cacophony Society is famous for, of course, is pranking.
Yes.
Right. And we should mention the prank that happened at the beginning of this show.
Oh, yeah.
With Eve. Eve was the star prankster.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you involved animals in your live animals.
Animals usually like me, but not that much.
Well, Eve really relaxed. And, the ultimate prank. She just
took
crawled
a giant
right up
dump
you
right
and
my leg.
Pooped all over, not just your leg, but your jacket, your shoes, and the whole carpet. She just really made herself known. And, sometimes that's the kind of thing Cacophony Society would do. In fact, after all, what's the first syllables? Caca.
I mean, and you hit it right on that note, And as Daniel Dravitt said in The Man Who Would Be King, we got to brass it out. Danny, brass it out.
Yeah.
Which means just keep going.
That's right. And so often, I believe in this theory of improvisation, but it freaks me out. It still scares me. Like, I see Eve pooping all over my star guest, and I go, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, my God, I'm just mortified. And then I realized, fortunately, you were very gracious, that this makes that moment memorable.
I'll never forget it.
Otherwise, she's just another
I'll
snake.
Never forget it. And there's pictures to prove it, too.
Absolutely.
Right, in time for the photo set.
And I know when I said, don't take pictures, then I went, wait a second, I'm being an idiot. Take pictures, of course. You know, because that is the whole principle.
And it's not near, I mean, there's so many embarrassing things that we did in Cacophony. Cacophony Society was an amateur group. Okay, we were not professional actors. We were not professional pranksters. We would come up with a crazy idea. We had no idea how we were going to do it or if we could do it, right? Right, Carrie?
Or if it would actually work.
Or if it would work at all. And there we had some epic misfires and
epic
backfires.
Epic flops, yes.
You know, and also some really successful events that went on to, I mean, the stupid Santa thing, which now happens almost everywhere in the world.
SantaCon.
It started as a Cacophony event in 1994.
So did the Salmon Run, which is still happens every year at the Beta Breakers. Yeah. People dress as giant salmon, and then they start at the finish line and run to the start.
Against the crowd.
All the other runners.
That's a little rough. I did wear a salmon necklace for that.
Right on.
And, salmon necklace and a clown, I want to introduce some of my other guests here, and I've got a bunch of guests, some of whom have been to Burning Man, and some who have questions for you, and some are just wild and crazy people. So, Amber, welcome back. This is Amber Chase, brothers and sisters. She hasn't been here in a while, so put your hands together. Welcome, Amber Chase.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. Now, you're all the way down from Oregon.
Yeah, well, Washington.
Close enough, right. Okay.
But I was kind of tripped out by your guys' intro in the beginning because one of the projects I wanted to tell you about was I'm doing this cosplay and we're basing it on stories about, you know, like the New World Order and chemtrails and stuff as underlying plot features.
Well, Evie just let loose the New World odor.
Yeah, she sure did. So, you know, like even though I do all this stuff in the adult industry, I still want to get, you know, use my platform as a voice. And so
absolutely.
It's a fun way.
The adult industry is just such a country of all kinds of people. And a lot of people in it are wacky people, you know. Some of them are kind of straight people, and they work for LA Direct Models, right? No, I mean, it's okay, you know. But there are others who are artists, who are real artists.
Speaking of which, as we were touring the facilities here, I was just blown away by your artwork, and I have this series that I've been working on called the Portland Series, featuring Portland, Oregon, and the sex-positive atmosphere there. And I really want, after the show, I want to get your mailing address and mail you a 16x28 painting that I did, Amber Chase.
Well, we will add it to the Speakeasy Erotic Art Gallery.
I think that it would go perfectly with all the rest of the beautiful, beautiful erotic artwork here.
Thank you. Well, you know, you are a multi-talented girl, you know.
Renaissance
and
woman.
Yes, you are a scholar, a porn star, artist, everything. And, you know, you should take a lesson from the Cacophony Society because
I'm so intrigued.
They're all about performance art and getting headlines, you know, getting coverage. The Suicide Club was the opposite, all about mystery. But Cacophony,
probably
all about
is,
doing
right?
it big. In fact, they did it so big with Burning Man, it got bigger than they could even be part of. You know, it just ran away with them. But it came from their energy, this improvisational, clowning, you know, intelligent but stupid. I mean, wacky, stupid in the sense of wacky. Energy that I think we all in the adult industry can relate to, you know, because of the slings and arrows that get thrown at the adult industry. We all have to acknowledge we're, you know, somehow in the circus.
Yeah. But it's also empowering.
Yes, as is being in the circus.
Yeah.
You know, being in the circus is the greatest life in the world, you know. Anyway, I want to introduce the nurse just in case we,
super
you know, fall off the bridge. The nurse is here. Yes, Odette Delacroix. Let's have a hand, brothers and sisters.
Hello. It's good to be back.
Well, you're ready for your cosplay, aren't you?
I was going to say cosplay, huh?
Yeah.
I picked the right outfit for tonight.
Totally.
So have either of you ladies ever been to Burning Man?
I haven't.
No. You know about it?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
You want to go?
I do, but I feel like I have to save up in my piggy bank.
That's the thing.
I would go if I could go back in time. to when it was more, you know, organic and pure or something.
Yeah, you look very organic and pure tonight.
Doesn't she?
Yeah, and of course, I'm not going to say she's the opposite of organic and pure, but she is hot and very creative and quite the adult artist. Let's hear it for Tiffany Starr, brothers and sisters.
Oh.
Hello, darling.
Hello.
Have you ever been to Burning Man?
No, but being here, hearing about it constantly makes me want to go really bad.
Yeah. You got to, you know, pay some money to go. But, I mean, and also it's not just that, but you have to be prepared. But, you know, you're quite, you can relate to this cacophony society stuff. You're quite a character, aren't you?
I hope you mean that in a positive way.
Of course. I don't like people very much who aren't characters. I mean, they're okay, but the people that are characters, or that at least are weekend characters, I mean, they don't have to be characters all the time. I mean, we all take off the mask, but to be able to put on different masks is it makes life fun, right?
It's a liberation.
Mm. Well, speaking of liberation, I think you should liberate your seat and come on up here because you look so cute. And then we can have Michael sit down here because I know he's been to Burning Man. So you're going to come up here. Here she comes. We could have a little music as she ascends the stage in her nurse ratchet. Okay, she's going to lock us all up.
That's what I'm talking about.
Speaking of which, I mean, the merry pranksters of Ken Kesey are sort of antecedents of cacophony. Yeah, you have to get the microphone since this is like your fourth time here. You know where it is. There you go. Odette Delacroix, she's looking very helpful tonight. Okay, so here's Michael Vegas, brothers and sisters. Give him a hand. He hasn't been here in a while.
Yeah. Hi, Susie.
Michael Vegas is a multi-talented porn star, photographer, artist, burner, right?
Indeed. New burner. Just went for the first time last year, and man, it was like going home. It was great.
Yeah? Going home.
That's one of the things they say. They say welcome home when you get there. It's just this... You know, it's just this community, this sense of family amongst strangers that you don't get anywhere else.
That's very similar to the you may already be a member kind of approach. Okay, now you can bring the music down. Actually, it should have been when she was walking up. Okay, it's okay. It's okay. This is improvisation.
I'm running the show.
It's like snake shit, right? Okay. Yeah. So, if you've ever wondered about the founding of Burning Man.
I have.
Yeah.
This is quite interesting to find out, the Cacophony Society and all that.
Did you know about that?
I did not.
Read the book. It's all in there.
Man, I'm very excited to get my hands on that book.
So do you have a question for my guest?
I don't.
You don't?
I can't think of one off the top of my head right now.
Well, let's talk about Fight Club.
When's the last time you went back?
Well, we can talk about Burning Man a little bit if you want to.
A little bit. It actually started... Burning Man was something that happened on the beach in San Francisco.
You know, it was a bonfire on the beach. Yeah. And it started in 1986. There were a couple people, Jerry James and Larry Harvey and a couple others, that got together, smoked a little pot, watched the movie Wicker Man, and got this funny idea from a woman named Mary Grauberger.
The original Wicker Man.
Who, actually, Susan, you might remember her. She was in the Suicide Club, and Mary was kind of a hippie gal, a little bit older than we were at the time. And she used to go down to Baker Beach in San Francisco and have a solstice party there and invite her friends down, and they would burn things in the fire. They'd bring little mementos and burn things in the fire. And that was kind of the precedent to Burning Man. And then Burning Man actually has an event started in 1986 concurrent with the Cacophony Society, but in different parts of the city.
On solstice.
And we ran into them a couple years later, and we were doing organized events and then kind of joined up with Burning Man and took it to the Black Rock Desert in 1990. Which is a year that we were shut down on Baker Beach when it was just a bigger bonfire than there were about maybe 300 people. And the cops had found out about it and shut it down and didn't let us burn the man. And we took it, and Kevin Evans, the co-author of our book, had come. He had been out to the Black Rock Desert for a wind sculpture festival that a group called Planet X was doing out on the playa. And they were an art group that was already out there that preceded the Burning Man thing. And then I had been out in the Black Rock Desert monster trucking with my buddies from work and knew about it. And Kevin and I got together and were planning a cacophony event to the desert. And then when the Burning Man got shut down, Kevin said, hey, why don't we ask Jerry and Larry to bring along the man and make it part of the event? And that was the first Burning Man on the desert. And then the second year we were out there, Carrie and her crew did the first theme camp, kind of uncredited, but it was a thing called the Bolt Action Rifle Club.
Yeah, we took out our bolt action rifles, and we set up shooting ranges, and we took all these people who had never shot a gun, and none of our rifles are newer than 1913, so it was a very different experience.
Not exactly, you know, automatic weapons.
Right, yeah. We played mountain bike polo.
But still, not very bonobo. I wouldn't have gone to that event.
But they dressed up in period.
Those
period
old guns could blow up. You never know.
It was
great. You know, it's funny because when we first went out there, it's northern Nevada and a very gun-friendly place. And when we left Bruno's that first time, heading out to the desert, I got to know many people in town after that because I was the operations manager for the event and got to know people around there. Mm. And they had the rumor in town was that we were a bunch of Satanists heading up Playa to do some inscrutable and dark rituals because they just didn't know. And they looked at us, we were some weirdos from the city. Reason that they didn't mess with us is because we were very well armed. Yeah. And they actually grudgingly respected us and then became very friendly over some.
They didn't realize your weaponry was from 1913?
Oh, not all our weaponry was from 1913.
Okay.
That was a little known fact about Burning Man, that the early event, a lot of people were packing heat.
Yeah, It was a big part of it.
Uh-huh. Now that reminds me of something else that was inspired by Cacophony Society, which is the movie Fight Club. Mm-hmm. And did anybody ever see that or read the book,
Great
Fight Club?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that was inspired by Cacophony.
Actually, the Project Mayhem, the little group inside of Fight Club is actually derivative from an actual Cacophony event.
And what was that event?
It was in Portland Cacophony. Because the guy who wrote the book, Chuck Palahniuk, he was in Portland Cacophony, and he wrote our foreword for us
for the book, yeah.
And he had attended an event, and he had such a great time, and it just kind of snowballed into his Fight Club. Yeah. You know, story.
He became a regular member of Cacophony. And this was before he was famous, before he wrote Fight Club.
Yeah, he was like a many diesel people mechanic.
Like many people in the Cacophony, he was a regular Joe with a working job, and he was a diesel mechanic. He worked for Greyhound Company. Mm. And the first big Portland Cacophony event that we did was in late 1991, and it was in an abandoned Greyhound bus factory, bus maintenance building that Chuck had actually worked in before. And his friends in Portland Cacophony put on this giant Atomic Cafe event, which is another event that Carrie came up with and her friend Louise Jarmilowitz. And just a massive event, a lot of people, as though they had survived the apocalypse. People came dressed up in post-apocalyptic garb,
rags,
like from A Boy and His Dog or Mad Max, and had this massive event in this abandoned building, and that was Palahniuk's first event. And so he based Project Mayhem, as we mentioned, on the Cacophony Society.
Yep.
So we weren't actually punching each other out or anything like that. We weren't,
the Fight Club part.
He got that from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you guys were fighting, it would probably be with like a rubber chicken or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know? Pies. We were great for
pies. Something like that.
Yeah, if you want to fight me, you got to catch me first.
Yeah, I mean, Fight Club sort of Hollywoodized the whole thing, right?
Right, but it was about the club you don't talk about.
Still, the spirit of it. Yeah, the mystery and the belongingness and the different layers of identity, reality and fantasy, very, very cacophonous. So Cacophony Society, this book is like a primer for how to have your own group, your own show, your own, collaborative.
Make your own culture
group,
is what it's about.
Right.
We consider it to be a how-to manual.
How-to.
Carrie is an educator.
And I call it a Bonoboville. Make your own Bonoboville, right?
Mm-hmm. It's part textbook, and part just sort of telling the story, and part giving ideas and history, but also getting people to think up their own ideas and go out and use their cities as playgrounds and do their own thing.
Yeah, and Cacophony was a delivery system for events. It was a way for people to get together and get together with people, like-minded people who wanted to challenge their fears and do things that were creative and that we'd never think of doing. And it's inspired some other things. Charlie Todd wrote one of our afterwards, and Charlie is the guy who started Improv Everywhere, which some of you folks might know about. It's like one of the largest the largest flash mob nexus or organization.
Thousands
it's not really an organization, but in the world, they do the things like the no pants subway rides and Michael Jackson dances with 1,000 people in Union Square, New York, and things like that. And he did the afterword for us. And the other afterword is written by Stuart Mangrum, who's retired from the Billboard Liberation Front, which is another group that came out of the Suicide Club. And his afterword
right,
is kind of a how-to.
Billboard Liberation Front.
Yeah, you remember that group. And mm-hmm. it's a how-to. His afterword
is a how-to. Defacing billboards, or maybe you could say
improving billboards.
Making them have a real interesting message.
Yes.
Yeah. Which now, of course, corporate people sort of pretend to do. They pretend they deface them.
Yeah, they've definitely
called
tried.
Called guerrilla marketing, which came out of indirectly out of the Suicide Club and Cacophony.
Now, it's interesting that Suicide Club did not allow any drinking or drugs.
On most of the events, yes.
Well, the ones I was on. I mean,
well, when you're climbing the Golden Gate Bridge or sneaking into a sewer or going into an abandoned building.
Or joining the Moonies.
Yeah, joining the Moonies. You want to be in command of your senses because your real life experience is surreal enough.
It's very surreal.
And altered enough to start with.
And so you need to have your senses as much in control as possible.
The drugs
So I respected
later.
That. Well, yeah. I mean, Cacophony Society, it seemed like it opened up. And then, of course, Burning Man, it became almost part of it.
Early Burning Man, not everyone, but many, many, many people at early Burning Man were very altered, including all of the main organizers, whether they admit it now or not.
Yes.
Very altered.
Very altered, right. Yeah. Were you altered in Burning Man, Michael?
I might have been slightly altered.
Slightly altered, right.
Good answer.
Altered.
You've also been altered, haven't you, Tiffany?
Define altered.
Well, we don't mean having sex on an altar, although that's something
okay,
you could
do. Okay, because that's what I was thinking.
Well, combining the idea of sex on an altar and mind-enhancing substances, we have Bonoboville Communion, brothers and sisters. This is our communion. This is our church of Bonoboville. And these are like, you know, the communion wafers, except they are Lisa's. There's Lisa with the camera right over there.
There she is.
Lisa's. L.A. Jello shots, right? And there, and anyone and who's had them knows that
she's selling Jello shots without a license in Los Angeles. That's illegal.
You know, that sounds like Suicide Club stuff, right?
Breaking the rules.
Okay, breaking the rules. So who has done communion? You're going to do it, right? I think we have one flavor tonight. There's two flavors. Okay, we're starting with orange. Is this,
should we
you know, it's in the Dr. theme Susie. Because I wore gold. This is like the color of the Golden Gate Bridge. What
Evie should be,
oh, Evie should be put away. Right. Yes,
yeah, just give it to me,
Evie. I'm sure you want to say good night to your girlfriend.
Oh, she already, thank you.
She had intimate,
she already
intimate
shat,
relations
so
with you. right we didn't know you were into scat. Okay, you're gonna put her away. Yeah,
you're
you can
put her away?
Okay, be sure to cover the cage. Okay. And if she poops on you, you know she loves you.
Well, I have that effect on females, you know. They loosen up that much. Mm.
Female snakes, and they go up.
So, okay. So who's going to participate in Bonoboville Communion to show the people who have not done so what
I'll take a shot.
You will?
Yeah, I have to come up to take a shot.
Well, of course. Yes, you do. Yes. You see, in communion in church. Okay, what religion did you grow up with, John?
I was a Catholic, of course.
Catholic, right.
I was
okay.
an altar boy. We
so
used to
you were an
altar
boy.
Line.
You
yeah.
seem like you were an altar boy. Very
Absolutely.
Good boy. Very good. I mean, I felt like I was in a boy with a Boy Scout when I went up that bridge.
I felt very safe with you.
Well, thank
so,
you.
So you took communion, right?
Of course.
Right? So the priest puts a wafer in your mouth and then...
The body of Christ.
That's the body of Christ. And then some wine, or did you get grape juice?
Well, you know, we used to filch the communion host beforehand. We altar boys would get together before Mass, and we'd sneak in, and we'd get giant stacks of unconsecrated hosts and eat them. And then we would drink the altar wine, and we would pour water in so it didn't look like it was... we were 12. We didn't know any better.
Right.
So,
right. Well, this is not for 12-year-olds. This is an adult form of communion. So instead of your tongue, you do it on the nipple. You do, yes, absolutely. Here she goes, our little nurse, Odette.
Ow!
Yeah, and she's got some medicine for you.
My
you
heart's
better
feeling
take it.
Not too good. Where's the nurse? I have
yeah,
a tightness
Max
in my chest.
Max really has a lot of problems. You need to help him out. And I think you already are helping him out. Okay, so now what you do, I don't know if you remember, you lick the surface, just this is the communion, And
this is better than the bridge in San Francisco.
What?
Look at this structure.
I'm paying close attention here, Max.
I'd like to climb on that bridge myself. I don't want to be sexist.
Okay. Anything. I think that your table is prepared. And you also were brought up a Catholic girl, were you not?
Oh, I was.
Yes.
Through my bachelor's degree, a full Catholic education.
Loyola Marymount?
Yes.
Very good. Okay, thank you, Loyola, for training her so well.
Yes,
to
thank
be
you.
Our altar. She is our altar girl
leads to this.
For Bonoboville Communion. Yes, so now you lick it. Tiffany. Tiffany tongue. Right, oh, yeah, and a little lipstick there. All right. It looks appropriately sleazy. Okay, and now we sprinkle the salt, sort of like this is the wafer. Or the holy water. No, yeah. It's somehow symbolic. Okay, now you lick that up. And
this is a very religious moment, folks.
Yes. And messy, too. This is
We've
very
converted
cacophonous.
More breasts
getting
than
all
anyone
that lipstick
in the world.
All over there, yeah. Very nice. Aww. Okay, it's enough. No. So now you suck down that jello shot. You might need to swirl it around with you. Oh, she's got good suck muscles, this one. All right, very good. Can we have a little hand? Okay. And now return favor. All right, Tiffany. Can we ask you, or have these been enlarged?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, take the microphone. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They look it. They look it. Wow, very impressive.
Oh, they're still fairly new, but I like them.
Yeah. Well, you know, altering your body. If that's not like an art form, I don't know what is. Wow. I mean, your body keeps altering more and more.
Well, I'm sure it'll continue to alter until I'm, you know, satisfied.
How much yes. does a set of breasts like that cost?
Cost me nothing.
Nothing. Got it for free.
Cost someone else a lot.
Wow. Oh, this was
good
a
for you.
Gift.
Yeah, all right.
Ah, yes. Okay. Well, we're going to use them. Okay, so here goes Odette for her communion. This good little Catholic girl. Can I have a microphone? What religion were you brought up?
I was brought up Catholic.
Why do we have all these Catholics?
A lot of Catholics in here.
All right. Did you do communion?
Oh, yeah, but if it was like this, I'd probably still be Catholic.
That's a good point. Well, you know, priest, take a lesson. Right? Sex is the essence of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. She did a good job there. And she didn't get lipstick all over you. She's very sweet.
I kind of like lipstick. It looks really slutty.
Okay.
Yeah.
She can redo it, right? Okay, so here comes the, you know, what is this? The wafer.
The wafer.
Here we go. The body. And the soul. And the spirit.
Yeah, I felt all of the body and the soul and the spirit.
You do. I can see that. I can see it in your nipple. Yes. Hardening. So you're transforming, Tiffany, before our eyes. Is it all for the business, or it's for you?
No, it's for me.
It's for you.
Yeah, I don't do anything just because people expect me to look a certain way. I do it because I want to look that way. If it was the industry, my boobs would be out to here, and I'd have lipo up to here until I was that thin.
Ooh,
yeah.
That sounds like more dangerous than climbing the Golden Gate Bridge.
I kind of want to climb the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you can anymore, can you? You can't climb it.
Well, you know, you can still climb things. I mean, there are younger groups that still climb things. It's more dangerous since 9/11. You're more likely to get in serious trouble if you're caught. But I have a friend, Moses Gates.
Never mind falling.
Who's been climbing urban structures. He just had a book out called Hidden Cities, which is a pretty cool book about his adventures climbing things post 9/11. So it does happen, but there's a bigger risk.
Yeah.
A much bigger risk. Yeah.
They're wise to us.
They are indeed.
So, who wants to get into this chair? Don't all jump at once. Misha.
Yeah.
Misha Brooks, yeah. Brothers and sisters, for the first time on DrSusie.tv. Hello, Misha. Hi, I'm so happy to meet you. Welcome to Bonoboville.
Thank you.
It's This is you were here actually just in an after party or something, right?
Yeah,
but
we just stopped by briefly.
First time on the microphone. Have you been to Burning Man?
Yes.
Ooh. Just once or a couple times?
Just once.
Yeah, how was it?
Amazing.
Yeah? When were you there?
I was there with Michael last year.
And what's your favorite part?
Oh my gosh. Being able to rage all night for 4 or 5 days.
All night for 4 or 5 days. That's the spirit.
Well, I guess that's not my favorite part. I liked meeting really nice people. There was a lot of good people there.
Yeah, I mean, are these people different than other people, or is it the environment, the zone, that makes them different?
To me, it just seems like a large collection of like-minded people. While you're out there, I mean, it's pretty miserable out there, honestly. But if you're willing to make it through that and just push through and realize that there's lots of fun to be had despite this terrible place we've brought ourselves to.
And maybe because of this terrible place. See, that's the thing, is the adversity sometimes brings out the best in people. That, you know, you fight it, but then if you get through it, it's like better than if it was easy, right?
I definitely think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. So, would you like a Bonoboville Jello shot?
Well, yeah, I'll take one.
Yeah, okay. And now here's the salt. Now, you don't have to do it on nipples. It could be any body part.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Just don't do it on the microphone.
Right? And, yeah. Oh, well, I guess he did it on his finger. Would you like one?
You know, I was raised a Mormon. We don't eat gelatin, but I'll try it.
But you don't eat gelatin. How about alcohol? I mean, that's the main thing in
well,
there.
Well, Mormons aren't vegetarians. I just am.
So how long am I going to trip now, Susan?
Exactly. That's my concern.
That's liquid Jello.
That's the secret, you know. Right.
All right, I'll try it.
It's going to explode inside of you. Okay, so now you guys... You should. Where's your better half?
I don't know where he went.
Uh-oh.
He disappeared.
He did.
I don't know.
Wow. Would you like to partake in Bonoboville Communion?
Sure.
Yeah?
I think I should.
Yeah. Okay. So, where's that salt? What religion did you grow up?
I grew up Mormon.
Mormon? Like Carrie here.
And we're gone.
There's several Mormons
only
here
for a
today.
While.
Only for
careful.
A while. I guess so. I mean, if you're a Mormon, you're not allowed to have gelatin or
no, yeah,
alcohol.
No gelatin especially.
Yeah. Or probably do porn. I don't know. Is that okay? If you didn't drink or, you know, have coffee or anything like that, could you do porn and still be a Mormon?
I guess if you didn't get caught.
Well, then you can do the Jello shots too. I'm saying, is that against Mormon rules to do?
I'm not sure. I actually wasn't baptized. I didn't look up the rules.
You're not supposed to have sex before marriage, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So right. That might. You could do solo scenes.
True.
I'd imagine.
True. Let's take a step back.
All right. So the Bonoboville Jello shot. Would you like to partake? Here's your salt, and. And here's your Jello shot. Here, why don't you just take two? There you go. Okay.
Are these good?
Are they good?
Yeah.
Well, you've got to try them. It's like, do you say that to the priest? Is the wafer good? You know, you just trust
the
priest.
I don't know. I wasn't Roman Catholic.
Sister, you trust the priest.
Yeah, it's the body of Christ.
And you just suck
Christ
it
sake.
Up. That's right. And, okay, that's probably one of the problems with the Catholic Church, is trusting the priest.
Well,
exactly.
Speaking
and
of
they
that...
Never, they really never ask you how the wine is. Mm. Like, they don't go, how's the wine? Yeah?
I should invite you up for a Bonoboville Jello shot, Star. Come on up.
I will lick some nipples. I will not...
You will lick some nipples.
Just
is
nipples.
Is that right?
No
she
problem.
Will lick some nipples.
She's beautiful.
I happen to have nipples.
Yeah. Okay. You see that?
I take you around
a couple
this
of
way.
Them.
Speaking of priests, do you remember the Vatican story about me and Sheena Shah?
Oh, yeah.
The Vatican story, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, you know, Tiffany is the most downloaded transsexual in the Vatican.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Okay? And
it's pretty badass.
Yeah, I mean, you know... Not to say there aren't other transsexuals that are downloaded in the Vatican, because obviously there are. This was.
Isn't the Pope a transsexual?
Well, transvestite, I know that. I mean, after all, he does wear a dress, but I don't know about the junk there. So.
That's basically saying that I'm God's preferred transsexual.
You know, if you grew up Catholic and you believe, yes. Right. Definitely. Okay, so you did your Bonobo Bill jello shot. I didn't even see the lick.
I was waiting, and then you were doing your thing, so I got thirsty.
Oh, you didn't do your lick.
I didn't see the lick.
He's so dressed up tonight, okay. I see Amber looking very hungrily at that, but your boyfriend is gone.
I don't know where he went.
Okay, there he is. And he just blew something out of his mouth, so I think we all know where he went now. Okay, so I think he's ready for a Bonoboville jello shot. Come on up here.
I think so, but I have to adjust my dress first.
Okay, yes, yeah, adjust it.
Yes,
here she is.
Adjusted.
Amber, waves of grain and nipples of beauty.
Michael, will you help me with the salt here, man?
Help him out with the salt. I think he means more than that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Here we go. Bonoboville jello shots. Bonoboville communion. Brothers and sisters, it can bring you together. And the Cacophony Society certainly brought a lot of people together.
My nipples are so sensitive with that salt.
And it was very open and very out there, but it was also inspired by very weird people, like our mutual friend William Burroughs.
Yeah, Burroughs had a certain influence on
He was
on
my teacher at Naropa Institute.
Oh, yeah.
And what was his influence on Cacophony?
Control. William Burroughs wrote about control. The central theme of all of his writings was how all human organizing, at least in my opinion, but how all human organizing eventually comes to top-down hierarchical control, and how you kind of fight that. And I think the idea or the concept or the feeling behind Cacophony and the Suicide Club before it was to like not be controlled and to be free in whatever respect and whatever event and whatever life experience you were having, was to not be told what to do and not tell other people what to do, but to live freely with other people who are free. That's what early Burning Man was like. I mean, it's still a great event, but it's a very controlled event now in a lot of respects.
It's sad that that's a radical idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad that that is a radical idea. Like,
what, being free?
Like,
it is.
Yes, it's, being free, doing
kill
what you,
you
want,
for it if they
enjoying
figured it.
Life.
Yeah.
And look at these free people. They look like they're on the moon, but they're at Burning Man.
How?
So, do you recognize these people?
I do.
Who are these people?
Stylish motherfuckers.
Me and Misha. Those are actually my parents standing next to us.
Your parents went with you to Burning Man?
My parents have been going for 15 years now.
Oh, wow. Do you know his parents?
They don't look familiar, but I know a lot of people.
Do you have a picture with their clothes on? Maybe I can tell better.
Wow. Well, one of them has a mask on. You know, but they've been going for 15 years, so they probably went when John went.
Well, I left in 1996. That was my last year, so that's a long time ago.
That is.
A long time ago. Done a lot of things since then. But
how old is Burning Man?
Well, 80, it's 86. It started.
23 years, something like that. 24 years.
Wow. Well, there they are out there. Yeah. And were you there, Justin? Oh, you printed it. This, Justin, I was going to say it looks like one of Justin's pictures, but it's not. But he printed it, so.
That was actually I took that picture and I framed it for my parents for Christmas, and Justin's the one who framed it for me. So that's one of the.
That's really great.
One of the leftovers.
So look what happened to him. It's great. Freedom is great. Exploring is great.
Yeah. And,
perversion is great.
Perversion.
Yes. Yeah, perversion.
Well, we're very into perversion.
All the
we're more perverted than the Cacophony Society. Of course, you guys had Ducky Doolittle, right?
No,
Ducky Doolittle was in Cacophony. She was Cacophony, that's right.
Yeah, she's kind of a sex therapist.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, there's some sex, but it's all very kind of low key, because I guess you guys have, like, different ages of people. Or is there an effort to make it low key, or.
Cacophony Society?
Is it just that I am way perverted and I think it's low key? Or maybe the book.
I don't know about perverted. I mean, it's all consensual, right? I mean,
we're not torturing
anybody or making them do anything they don't want to do. It's very free in that regard.
Yeah,
true.
So, and that's something that's comparable and similar, I think, between what you're doing here and what we're doing.
Yeah, but if you had porn stars in the Cacophony Society, you might have communion like we do.
Well, there were a few.
There were a few, actually.
Oh, yeah, like who?
Early on in the Suicide Club, Kat Sunlove and Lane Winklebot.
Kat Sunlove! She's an old friend.
How about Annie Sprinkle?
They did stuff with Gary Warren and his place, the Gorilla Grotto, which was a kind of a fellow traveler with the Suicide Club, and they were aware of it, and they came on some events. But they did crossover SM seminars for the Gorilla Grotto back in 1979-1980. Cléo Dubois was an original member of the Suicide Club.
Yeah, she's been on the show.
Seduced me when I was 18.
Wow.
Long time ago.
Well, she's a good MILF. She was the wife of the Fakir.
Fakir, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Cléo Dubois. I published some of his first pictures back in the 70s.
I've known Cléo under another name for 35 years.
Yeah. Max published, what was it called?
Forbidden. That was Charles Gatewood's book.
Oh, that was Charles Gatewood. Okay.
His first edition of Forbidden Photographs. Yeah. Yeah. Which had the tattooed fetus, which nobody would touch the book. And Charles was running around all over New York, and he'd go, look at this fetus, man. It's tattooed. They're all going, huh?
Yeah.
So I published his book. Yeah. Well, then I got arrested.
That'll happen.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Max knows about all that stuff very well. So, you know, we all take risks. Mm-hmm. I mean...
Not everyone takes risks. Well, you take risks.
We Suicide Clubbers and Cacophonists and to some degree, the Burning Man people, even though there's so many of them, but even just going to that is a risk, you know?
I would suggest anyone to go at least once, even though I haven't been since 1996, and I have different ideas about the event than a lot of people might have, because I'm one of the originators of the Desert Event. And it's a great thing then, it's a great thing now, but it's like comparing apples and oranges. It was a completely free event back in the early 90s, where there actually were no rules. And now it's, people go and they have a wonderful time and they form their own groups of people and do whatever it is they're doing. There's a certain amount of freedom there that you can't get in your average normal life, back home in Los Angeles or Peoria or wherever you're from. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And I'm not against that.
Yeah, because the last time I went was 1992.
Yeah.
But my nieces and my nephews, all my friends, my students, they all say, should I go to Burning Man? And I'm like,
sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Try it once. Why not?
Go.
It's kind of a religious experience for people who aren't very religious. I mean, it's...
Even for people who are religious.
I guess for... It's
some of the people that go to Burning Man are religious about it.
Maybe more spiritual.
Religious about it. But,
yeah.
I mean... You know, they're probably lapsed something.
Some people,
do they have the Mormon group over there? And
let's hope they do. Yeah. The Mormons would have a lot of fun there, I'm sure.
Yeah, do they have a Christian group there? You don't know any.
You know, there's
I wouldn't know.
Literally everybody goes to Burning Man. There's, you know, they have a, it's an entire city. They have an Alcoholics Anonymous group. They have drug addict meetings and things for people that want to be in this charged environment and still be able to make it through.
I ain't going out in that desert without my motorhome.
And do they have a porn star group?
You know,
or it's several.
I'm sure there are multiple porn star groups that are there. You know, a lot of porn stars end up going. I think what's most important about it, you know, it may not be completely free still, but it gives people the ability to let go because they feel more free. So you may not be able to set your camper van on fire if you feel like, or, you know, go shoot a bunch of guns, but you can still take off your clothes and walk around. And although it's not completely free, it's a great step to getting people to think outside of the normal. Sure. So,
absolutely.
I think the greatest danger that we have in society is being normal. That's the whole problem with the world.
Right? Who decided what normal is?
Because we're the revolutionaries, and these guys are all normal. Well, every day they're doing the same thing.
But
the
Mac,
same
really, what is
thing.
Normal though? What is normal though nowadays?
Normal nowadays is when you fear the terrorists. When you live in a little hovel and go to work, that's normal. That's very normal. And
but
normality,
you know,
is the greatest disease that we have today because we're not looking out at the world anymore the way the world is. Yeah. And the world is paradise. There's nothing after this. After this, you are in paradise right here, right now.
I think this is the only shot you get myself, but that's what I believe. And when I was younger, I was an atheist, which is a belief system because you have to believe in nothing. I became an agnostic later on because I don't know. But I'm pretty sure there's not a guy in a white beard calling the shots. And I'm pretty sure there wasn't a virgin birth. And I'm pretty sure the Dalai Lama is not the 17th reincarnation.
Yeah, I believe in the virgin fairy. Yeah. Okay? Give me the virgin fairy, and I believe in that. But the Virgin Mary, please.
Yeah, I, you know, with all due respect to the Virgin Mother, most mothers are not virgins, unless there's a test tube involved. Sex is what brings us into the world, and sex is what motivates us to stick around for a while. Did you do your Bonoboville communion? You did not. Here, well, you know, you need your communion. And this
bring
is
out
your
the
salt.
Tub. We're going to put her in the tub.
And
we're going to
this
put
is
her in the
Star,
tub
brothers and sisters. First. Say hello to everybody.
And baptize the woman.
Hi.
And you want to introduce yourself? This is your first time here.
This is my first time here. I'm Star 9. Odette brought me. I'm a fetish model, performer, girl sometimes, that kind of thing.
Yeah? You ever been to Burning Man?
No, I can't handle that many people.
Ooh. Right, right.
That's like going to a nightclub.
Well, I mean, it's like being in a city.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're handling a lot of people here in L.A.
I can handle a city, but
it's not like they're all gangbanging you, girl. They're doing their own thing.
I was at the supper club last night. I was getting paranoid.
That was a lot of people.
There were so many people.
They were practically
I don't know what the hell
okay,
they were doing.
Where's the shots here?
Like, oh,
I don't consume the gelatin, so I'm just going to lick the salt off
of
her nipple.
Okay.
That's
well,
okay.
You know?
I'll have her shot.
You will. Okay.
I'll feed her the shot.
Here.
I could go for the shot, too.
Here you go. Maybe we'll bring on the new flavor.
You guys
and
should do it at the same time. I want to watch.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Star is going to do the first part of Bonoboville Communion on her friend. This is friendship among the bonobos. And actually, the Make Love Not War chimpanzees are very, very into female pleasure. They're all kind of bisexual. Well, she's really getting communion from everybody here. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But no actual jello. Okay. They're doing it their own way. And you know what? We have to allow that, right? I'm being inspired by Cacophony Society. I shouldn't just make them do it what I think is the right way, the right order, right? Salt, jello.
They'll work it out.
They're working it out very well, I think. This is Star and Odette Delacroix and Tiffany Star. Mm-hmm. All part of the same community. That's why their name is Star.
Like yeah, all part of the same galaxy.
Same family and stuff. Okay. Very nice. All right. Okay, does that deserve a hand, brothers and sisters? Okay, so we're almost out of time, and we're going to end the show on time tonight so that we can do our group shot before everybody leaves. But I think, you know, it's like another one of our rituals to kind of climax the show with a climax on our famous Sibian machine. It's not quite the Golden Gate Bridge, but for some people it is a
but
scary ride. I'm first going to offer it to our guests from out of town.
You'll have an orgasm.
No, you don't want to take a Sibian ride? I mean, you don't take your clothes off, you just take a Sibian ride.
No, I know. Yeah. What about challenging your fears?
It does. It is Measure B compatible, compliant, that is. That's why we have the saran wrap over the Sibian. And you do have attachments, but you don't have to use an attachment.
You won't need one.
Now, Odette is experienced at this. In fact, we're making a Sibian video right now.
That's what I heard.
You are the definitely promo. One of the stars, right? You are. So, well, how about our other out-of-town guest?
Me?
Would you like to? Have you ridden the Sibian before?
Oh yeah, I'm up there.
I don't think she's conquering her fear.
Whoa! Give this.
But I think that's
beautiful
okay.
Woman. Ass.
She's here twice.
She's not conquering her fears, but you know, she is expressing herself. And that's what's important. Okay, here she is, brothers and sisters. Amber,
whoever's got the controller, man, right. Give it to her.
Yeah.
Because she is. She's, wow. She can't handle it.
She can't handle it.
She thinks she can. She She's a big shit talker.
Okay, move it forward a little bit. Let's move it into the middle, right? You should be in the middle of things. Yeah, okay. And is someone going to hold the microphone up to her?
You have to face your fear here.
And is this
here.
Panties on?
And your parents.
You want to keep your panties on? Or you want to be naked? You know, it's hot.
And your brothers and sisters. What are you doing?
You want to keep your panties on. All right, all right. Sure, sure about that. Oh, okay. A little tease. Okay. So you want to hold the mic for her? And do you want somebody like behind you to give you some like moral support or physical support or something? Anybody want to? Yeah?
I'll be your spotter.
You want to be your spotter? Okay. And here we go. Somebody could always. The headphones. Let's see. Yeah. Talk into the microphone.
I've actually gotten questions for custom videos. Like, will you wear headphones while you masturbate? And I'm like, I do that.
Yeah. You want to wear the headphones? Because then you'll hear your own cries.
It'll intensify it, I'm sure. I can already feel it's like moving around.
Yeah, okay, but it's not really on yet.
No, it is. It is on.
Okay, here it goes.
Oh, yeah, now it's on. Yes. Oh, Susan's going to control it.
Yes, well.
Got a video game for my pussy.
If I don't control it, I'll hit you with a rubber chicken, so you better let me control it.
I'll let you know when I have to hand off this microphone.
This is just payback. She just broke in a new girl this way.
Yeah. Okay, so this is your girl here.
Yeah. This is payback for her. She just broke in a newbie industry girl this way.
Okay, brothers and sisters. This is the Sibian moment. You hear that motor? It sounds like that could join Carmageddon.
Wiggle right down on it.
Yeah, that's a vehicle, right?
Squeezing it
it's
with
like
my thighs.
Bugatti taking off.
You guys are into your vehicles. We're into our vehicles.
So I can hold these. And these ones too.
Put the pedal to the metal.
Okay, support her, brothers and sisters. All sisters, support her.
Wiggle right down on it. Yes,
you're going to come for us, Sister Amber.
Oh, I want you to make me come lots of times over and over. Oh, I can feel my body starting to sweat. Oh, yes, yes.
Sibian. Hallelujah, Sister Amber. Praise the ladies.
Oh, fuck. Oh, my pussy is so sensitive. Just grind down on it. Oh, I try to get me closest to perfect spot on my fuck.
If there is a God, I think he hears this.
We go back and go, just pace it, turn it down and up like that. Yeah. Make me come. Oh, fuck. Oh, I'm just gripping onto these two.
I'm going to hit you with the rubber chicken now.
Yeah, get nutty. Fuck. Fucking sweat dripping between my titties. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my fuck.
If that wasn't an orgasm, I don't know what is. Okay, and
We need to put one of those in your dungeon, honey.
Swatting my little ass.
You need to invest. Invest in one of these.
God damn. My panties are wet. Oh, God. Oh.
Let's hear it for our sister, Amber.
Hallelujah.
And we are Sibianized.
How wet are my panties?
I don't know. You could give them away or sell them or whatever you want.
wet little pussy.
Mmm. You like that? Or is that an understatement? Whoa. It's a sweaty night, brothers and sisters, here in the womb room. Yeah. Uh-huh. So this is the kind of vehicle we ride. You guys have a custom jalopy.
Conveyance.
And we have a Sibian.
I don't know. I got a 2000 Crown Victoria. I don't know.
But don't you think it would be cool to have the Sibian in the car?
Sure.
Why not? Oh, yeah. Built into maybe, the passenger seat.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe not in the driver's seat.
Can you plug them into the cigarette lighter, Susan?
More the passenger seat.
Some of the more expensive cars have that.
Yeah.
That's an idea for a new art car, just to put the Sibians lined up in the chairs.
That's a job for you, my son.
Well, brothers and sisters, we've only got a few more minutes. Is anyone out in the audience got some questions for my guests from the Cacophony Society?
Okay. Now, these guys, and these are all young kids, and time only gives us a few minutes, so they may not even know who we are in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So,
or a couple of minutes, maybe.
Or a
couple
of minutes.
Half hour.
Forget the 15 minutes of fame. You've got about 3 seconds. Anybody have any questions? You have a question?
Yeah, come on up here. Come on up here. To a microphone. You have a microphone. Okay, and who are you?
Hey, I'm...
Talk into the mic like you're giving it head. Don't be intimidated by the phallic shape. Yes.
I'm good with it. Do you still perform events like you were
speaking
about
events? I like to do small events. I lost a taste for organizing massive events some time ago, but I like to do small events. I was just in France where we did a reading from our book, and we did a lot of urban exploring there. We went into the catacombs in France, and we went into some abandoned insane asylums out on the wood outside of Paris with my friend Julia Solis and her crew called Dark Passage, which are an urban exploration crew from the East Coast, and we occasionally go and do explorations like that. So I like to do that sort of thing. But big events like Burning Man, I lost my taste. I organized a 10,000-person event in 1996 at Burning Man, and that was the last time I cared to do anything like that, to be honest with you.
And are you still doing events as Cacophony Society?
Actually, we just did a literary event just a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the Night of the Exquisite Corpse, which is an evening of theater that's written by the audience in the surrealist style. Before the play is performed right then
and written by the audience.
Yeah, so they write the dialogue and then it's covered up everything but the last line and then the next.
You can check out some of this stuff on our website, which is www.talesofsfcacophony.com.
Whoa, that's a brainful.
Yeah.
Just Google Cacophony. Yeah,
Google Cacophony Society. Yeah. It'll be this first or second thing that pops
society,
up.
Society, not cacophony, and spell cacophony right.
Yeah, if you Google cacophony, if you Google cacophony, it's not that far down the list. Maybe 3 or 4 or 5. Yeah.
So, Ashley, did you have a question? Come to the microphone. Come to a microphone. Here. No. He needs his microphone. So.
How can we join your events, and can we join them now?
Like this very second?
You may already be a member.
Well, actually, right now, we're going to leave here, and we're going to the Vista Theater
joined.
On Hollywood Boulevard to see Into the Zone, which is John Alloway's Cacophony movie, which is starting any minute now. And we'll be racing away from here to go see that. So you're welcome to come down there. I think there may be some seats left, maybe. But that's happening right now.
But
on
she's
Hollywood
working
Boulevard.
Here, so she can't go tonight.
Uh-oh, sorry, Susan. Okay, scratch that.
She gets no time off.
Next time, can you take me?
Is there another event in L.A. that's coming up?
Not that I know of, not right now. I mean, L.A. Cacophony, Reverend Al, who's kind of the main organizer down here, had a group that he does now called a performance group that he's involved in called The Art of Bleeding, which is a pretty cool thing. And they do performances occasionally, but it's not participatory. It's a straight performance. Cacophony Society was a delivery system for events, and people find other people to do events with on the internet right now. Flash mobs and that sort of thing. You can find groups of people and citizens and fellow travelers on the internet.
And you can make your own events.
And you can make your own events.
You may already be a member.
Yeah, and our book is a how-to manual.
She's already a member.
Our book is a how-to manual, so if you read our book, you can take the ideas that we had in there, mix them up with your own ideas, and go off and create events. And basically, all you need to do an event is that one other person. Maybe a balmy night and a bad idea and the balls and or clit to go out and do it. So,
you know, one thing I mean,
just
a couple
saying.
Things about the Cacophony Society that really inspire me is it's not about a performance in front of people.
No.
It's about interacting in a performance-y way. But it's real life. And like here, you know, people participate or they don't, depending on how shy they are. Could be that my featured guests don't participate as much as an audience member. It's just whoever wants to, whoever can. And yes, Ashley, get a microphone.
Okay. Like an interactive happening.
Steal it away from one of these quiet
people.
So maybe be aggressive.
So maybe we create a cacophony event or just our event.
Your
and
own
we
event.
Do
I
it
think this,
and we before or
you know,
during the show.
As soon as my snake pooped on John, I knew this was a cacophony event.
It was.
That was right there. You know.
We
can do it more. Now we have a handbook about it. You know,
I
got this fantastic book, which, by the way, is on sale.
And you can buy it.
Yeah, if you got some money, you can buy this book.
And the great thing about it, I mean, many great things, but, you know, our society is so much into kind of being passive recipient of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And also sitting behind your computer. I mean, I'm guilty of that a lot. You know, that's why I do this show every week, to just get out from behind the computer. It's almost like you have to drag yourself. You have to have something that drags you. And Cacophony Society does drag you into the world to interact, not just, you know, passively receive information and entertainment.
That's correct. It's about going out and doing it, and you might already be a member.
See, I like that line a lot, because it implies that people have already taken part in something unwittingly. I mean, like, how often have you been bored and just gone and done something completely out of the norm for you and your group of friends just to separate?
Thank
from
you
them?
Very much.
Yeah,
probably
I mean,
more
like,
often than you thought.
As soon as you started talking about everything, I mean, like, since I was 12, I've been doing stuff like this. Mm-hmm. Climbing buildings that you participate in, whether it's a church, a school, and then they just get bigger.
I ain't climbing.
You know, you just, then you, before you know it, you're climbing the scaffolding up to an uncompleted freeway overpass.
Correct.
And taking pieces of the sign so people actually believe you when you tell them you did it. You know?
That's it.
Well, you know, we would leave no trace and take nothing. But then again, you know.
Just pictures.
Sometimes you get a reason to go put it back.
Your tax money is paying for those road signs.
Mm-hmm. You know, you just take a piece. You don't take the whole thing. I mean, the union would be pissed.
I just bring my little iPhone.
Like
I bring my little iPhone and take a photograph. You know, sex on bridges, take a photograph. There you are.
All right, so we're running out of time. We do have some new Jello shots, though. These
yeah,
look
and I
very exciting. So if anyone
before
would like
we
to
end
do
the
more
show,
Bonoboville Communion, where's the salt?
Let's see.
It's here.
Do we have
I actually
a flavor
want to talk
here.
About
here.
A website.
This is Lisa. What is this flavor?
It's
cherry. Would
cherry.
You like another one?
Cherry. Okay. Cherry.
I'm good, Susan. Thank you.
This is very
good.
Slurpy. This one. Yeah. Why don't you do that? That would be great. Yeah.
Pass them out to the audience. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to do the communion,
sure.
though. Unless, you know, you want to disobey me, in which case, I guess
so,
that's okay.
Dr. Susie.
It's cacophony, after all.
Dr. Susie,
right.
Before we end, I'm watching always for dangerous groups and people that would like to undermine my work and my life.
Yes.
And there is a woman in New York who comes from Madison Avenue. And I'm going to tell you about this website, because it's very insidious. Kind of website. It's a website called Make Love Not Porn.
Oh yeah.
This
oh.
is a very anti-sex site.
I don't know.
That says
just doesn't
love
like porn.
Is beautiful. That's what our parents said. Love is beautiful.
Now, honey, you know, I actually want to have her on the show.
Well, she can come on the show. I'd
right,
love
okay.
to talk
so
to her.
So you're going
to
talk
but
shit about
her. But it's a very insidious, very insidious
I think you guys should have her on the show because I actually know
yeah,
her.
No, I know who
oh,
you
oh,
are.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I
want to
have
her on.
You
should
have
her.
She's
her
a
name?
Madison Avenue entrepreneur hipster. But
Make Love Not
I'm insulted by her.
I'm not. I
because sex is dirty. Sex is dangerous. Sex is a lie. It's not all beautiful. We're not back in the 50s. It's beautiful.
May I?
Of course. And it comes in all forms. It comes in all forms. To some people, it's beautiful when you're tied up. To some people, it's beautiful when you're this. This is insidious kind of stuff. Take her down.
Mm. Well, while you're taking her down, I'm having a Bonoboville Jello shot. Communion. I left the spot. All right, brothers and sisters. So we are almost out of time now. So I'm going to start with these people. Everybody tell everybody whatever you want to leave everybody with. This is your parting shot. Where are you from? How can they reach you?
I'm Odette Delacroix. You can find me on Twitter at Odette, O-D-E-T-T-E, Delacroix, D-E-L-A-C-R-O-I-X, or visit my website, sexycustomvideos.com. Thank you.
Pass it down.
Hi, I'm Amber Chase. You can Google Amber Chase and get to Amber Chase XXX. But you should also Google Codename Raider Girl and get to my free, totally free, cosplay video series that's coming up in the near future.
All right. Cosplay.
I'm Tiffany Starr, and you can get to my website at www.tiffanystarrxxx.com. There's two R's in Starr. You can also find me on Twitter under Tiffany Starr XXX. I'm also on Facebook and FetLife, and I do free cam shows for my website and Cam 4, so come watch me.
And she's the most popular Kennedy. Listen to that.
She's the most popular at the Vatican.
Yeah, well, we said that already. You missed that part, Max.
No, I know, but I'm repeating it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, in most case somebody didn't hear it.
Most popular tranny downloaded at the Vatican. Right. And sounds just like a Kennedy, right?
Yeah. She does. She does. My name is Star9. You can find me on Twitter at StarBondMedia, or you can visit my Naughty Pantyhose website.
Naughty Pantyhose? Are you wearing pantyhose?
I am not. You're wearing not. Pantyhose. Pantyhose do not That's go with this form-fitting slip. But it's pantyhoseperversions.com, and you can watch me and Odette doing naughty things on there.
Mm. Yay. Fetishes. We love fetishes.
Yeah, make love, not porn. None of that panty stuff.
Yeah, well...
wait till you get married, and then your husband tells you what he wants to do. Are you in for a surprise?
Mm, well, that could be love. You know?
It could be, it's like... I'd like to pee on you, honey. I love you.
If you love it, it's erotica. If you don't, I guess it's porn. Right. But, you know, we love porn. We love it all. We do. We're perverts. So, speaking of which, one of our favorite porn stars who stayed in his suit all night tonight is Michael Vegas.
Yeah. Thanks. Very famous, by the way. They got all kinds of stories about this guy.
Well, we still have the after party.
Also
but
comes
who wants
from a
to
very
see
nice family.
Everything's
good. Oh. He's a porn
I'll take my
star.
Shirt
oh, that
point.
Was you, Misha. You said you want to see him get naked.
So how's your son
naked?
Doing?
You
he's a porn
naked
star.
Oh, I'm lucky. I get to see it quite often.
Yeah.
What happened never to Michael? He's a porn star.
Okay, well, the night is young, and we still have our after party. But where do we find you, Misha?
You can find me at, well, my Twitter is Misha Brooks XXX, and that's spelled MISCHABROOKS.
Okay. And we can find you at Burning Man.
And you can find me at Burning Man.
You're going this year?
Yes.
Got your tickets?
Yes. They're awesome.
All right. And, sir?
Patrick,
I know I have your
Patrick
name.
Patrick J. Knight.
Patrick J. Knight. Patrick XXX.
Yes, that's right. And on Twitter, at Patrick XXX. Yes.
And you are boyfriend, girlfriend?
We're getting married on August 3rd.
Wow.
Wow.
Congratulations.
You said boyfriend earlier, and I was like, I have to say something.
Yeah.
All right.
So you guys, I mean, it's good to be getting married, right?
Absolutely.
And it's when you get married, an important thing is to have
you're
a community.
You're doing these fingers.
Otherwise, you drive each other crazy. So it's good to have a community, whether it's the porn community or the Burning Man community or the cosplay community or a little bit of all of that.
All of that and more.
And you're part of our Bonoboville, so, you know, when you get at each other on each other's nerves, you can always come down here.
Okay.
When we get on each other's nerves, we go down to the dungeon.
Oh, there you go. That's a little closer.
Our secrets, baby.
Make love, not porn. None of that stuff going to the dungeon and stuff. It's all very beautiful.
What do you got it in for this woman?
She offended me. Okay? Wow. I'm fucking pissed
at her.
But
we have other people.
I've been trying to get her on the show.
I don't even remember
She's
her
from
name.
Madison Avenue. She's making money, man.
You would love my latest YouTube installment where I smash the myth of porn addiction.
Oh, yeah, of course, right. Porn addiction.
Porn addiction.
How about golf addiction?
Yeah, I mean... Anybody can get addicted to anything with the way that people are defining addiction now.
Yeah.
It used to be that addiction was defined as a chemical dependence, And now you can be addicted to pantyhose. I mean,
well,
you know.
And the test.
I certainly am.
The test that determines.
We run the program to keep you from doing that.
The tests that determine these scientific surveys about what makes porn addiction are showing what they call the addiction. That'd be like, let's see if you're addicted to cocaine, and we're going to give you cocaine and see what your reaction is to it. So they like measure,
That's
your pupils
good,
dilated, your heartbeat increased because we showed you porn. That means you're addicted. Wait, no, it means you had a physical reaction to
horny,
a
man.
Stimulation.
Well, I think addiction is starting to mean just like you really like it.
Yeah, I really like it.
If you're really into it, then you must be addicted.
I'm addicted
gambling.
To masturbation.
I really like it. I'm addicted to gambling.
Yeah, does
leave
addiction
me alone.
Have to be negative?
A lot of my clients like to call themselves addicts. I try to talk them out of it, but they want to be addicts because they want to give up responsibility.
Yeah, you know? I do. I do a lot of hypno
and that's one
job
to bring
stuff.
It back to cacophony. I mean, you know, there's a lot of groups around in this world that are all about abdicating responsibility. And cacophony is all about, you know, you have to take responsibility or else you're going to fall off the bridge.
That's right.
Or your prank will fail or, you know.
That's right. You can't blame anybody else for it either. I mean, when you step out on the street to do a prank, I mean, if somebody punches you in the nose or arrests you or doesn't like your prank, you've got to, you know, you've got to take that. Their reaction to what you're doing
it,
is
right.
just as valid as what you're doing.
Yep.
You know, so you got to you got to be able to take a joke.
Improvisation.
If you're going to be a prankster, you got to be able to take a joke, like getting pooped on by a snake.
That's right. Okay, so where do we find you all?
You can find us. We have a Facebook fan page, Tales of SF Cacophony.
Tales of SF Cacophony.com.
Yeah, Tales of SF Cacophony.com. Yeah. You can find our fan page is SF Cacophony. And then we do have a Twitter feed.
Twitter feed. I'm John at, W. Law, Twitter, and our.
I'm at Emmy Keaton, which is.
Oh, you're on Twitter?
Yeah.
We've been retwittering all your Twitters here while we're sitting here.
Yeah.
And I'd like to thank you, Dr. Susan Black, my
much.
Old bridge climbing buddy from 1980 and 81.
Yeah.
Back when we were both 4 years old.
Here's the top of the bridge.
Yeah.
And
it's nice to see you again and to be on your show.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I mean, this has been very, very meaningful to me.
You notice she changed her clothes since climbing the bridge.
Yes.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out what to wear
that,
tonight.
Right?
My husband says, well, what did you wear when you climbed the bridge? I mean,
like a little windbreaker and some jeans, you know, tennis shoes
or kind of sexy.
Boots, you know. Yeah. Mm.
And it was definitely a transformative experience. And
really nice.
I thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking me up to the bridge. It is very special, you know. It's unique, you know, and I just always loved the Golden Gate Bridge.
Never look at it the same, will you?
No, right.
It's
you know,
not,
you look at it and you kind of own it.
It's not just for the cars. I mean, it's a giant jungle gym.
Mm.
For people.
Absolutely. So I hate to say it to sing the praises, but you can't climb it anymore.
Right.
But what you can do is many, many other things.
Find something else.
You can find other things. You can open up your own branch of the Cacophony Society. You may already be a member. And we call little groups where people, you know, give and love and share and have reciprocal understandings and make peace through pleasure. We call them Bonobovilles because they're inspired for us by the Make Love Not War chimpanzee. Who swing through the trees as well as with each other. And they're very playful. They're constantly doing pranks. And they use sex to diffuse violence. So they've never been seen killing each other in the wild or captivity. Even though, you know, they might hit each other over the head with a rubber chicken, they just don't kill each other. They have that kind of control. It's like they're a cacophony branch or something. So make like bonobos, brothers and sisters, not baboons. Go to Burning Man. Open up your own cacophony society. Yeah. Or come to Bonoboville and make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war.
To
make love to someone you love tonight. Even if that someone is you.
Woo!
I love you.
Woo! Ow! All right, thank you. Hey, from Los Angeles, California, you've been listening to Dr. Susan Block, and I want to tell you this, okay, make love, make porn, make anarchy, change the world, but don't get it down to two things. You got to get down into the dungeons. You got to get into the underbelly. You got to feel what sex is. It's many things. And I feel it in my soul. Thank you for having us. From my house to your house, take care.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.